And now, yes, ever wonder if that sneezing person next to you on the bus is going to get you sick, or maybe you stand back as soon as you flush that toilet to avoid the flying bacteria? I'm with you on this one. My next guest can tell you that's probably a good idea. She peers deep into the spatter of tiny droplets to model how diseases spread. That sneeze? Turns out it goes higher in the air than we thought, and you might not want to know about all those drops from the toilet. Lydia Buriba is an assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering and mechanical engineering at MIT in Cambridge. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What do you know about sneezes that the rest of us don't?
Well, I guess I looked at many more with the type of lighting and imagery that most people don't use.
And what did you see? I noticed that in the sneezes that we saw in our video, that they travel in a pattern that we really don't expect them to.
Exactly. So when I started looking at this at these phenomena, what I discovered that I guess other people didn't see before is that a cloud was really coming out during sneezes and coughs, so these violent expirations, and that it was not just isolated drops that were emitted, which was our prior physical picture of the event. So that turbulent cloud is carrying these drops and has very high momentum, so basically can travel quite fast, and is in some sense entrapping these drops and carrying them away in the room, further away from the sneezer horizontally, but also allowing them to travel upward in a room.
They go up because they're warmer than the air, so they rise. And you point out in the video that's got to be the worst thing that can happen for us, the sneeze droplets, because a lot of the air conditioning intake vents are in the ceiling where the sneeze is going right up there.
That's right. So, in fact, the turbulent cloud is a multi-phase cloud. So there's a gaseous phase and the droplets, and then eventually these drops are also evaporating into droplet nuclei, which contain basically dried up pathogens. But the cloud itself, this air, is hot and moist, as you mentioned, and that's what makes it eventually turn up when that momentum forward, that velocity, starts reducing. And indeed, it is the worst-case scenario in modern buildings where most of the suction and ventilation is upward.
Wow, so we're just recirculating the sneeze.
That's right. Basically, we're dispersing that, and most ventilation systems indoors do not have filters between rooms. So whatever is remaining in that cloud that reaches the ceiling can be redistributed.
I think everybody in our audience is looking at the ceiling. But it gets worse than this, because you've also turned your camera on to flushing toilets. Let me ask you about that after I tell everybody that this is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Do I want to know what organisms those can spread and how they're being spread?
That's right. So I want to reassure also the audience, sneezes are not always, you know, they could be a reaction of an allergic, stimulus and all of that. So the worst case scenarios we're talking about are really in cases of hospitals and in times of outbreaks or epidemics, pandemics. And that's when we really need to know what are the risks of transmission and basically motion of these pathogens from room to room. And similarly, for the high-pressure toilet flushes, initially when I started looking at that problem, it was also in the context of C. difficile, so Clostridium difficile propagation and transmission in hospital settings, where, in fact, the design of the facilities have included a voluntary choice of not actually including lids and choosing high-pressure toilet flushes for efficiency, energetic efficiency, but also efficiency in cases where patient turnout is high. And in those cases, those choices for not having a lid, for example, were taken to minimize biofilm formation, so contamination and attachment of other type of organisms on surfaces. And therefore, the question was, well, given that these are high-pressure flushes toilets, to which extent can we explain the recirculation of certain strains that seem to linger in the hospital that individuals sometimes come in without and leave with the emission of potential aerosols from these devices, these modern high-pressure toilet flushes. And indeed, it was quite surprising to see how much of the droplets were much smaller than what I expected initially. And therefore, these droplets would fall in the same group as the small droplets from the sneeze and coughs, in the sense that they can travel further, linger in the rooms, because they're not going to really settle on surfaces to be cleaned and in with the current surface sanitizing protocols.
Are our home flush toilets also putting out a spray like this?
So when I tested the more gravitational toilet flushes that are more common in households, there's a lot less coming out. And in fact, most households also have lids, so the advice would be to lower that lid and make sure that it's clean, obviously, regularly for minimizing biofilms. But the real concerns are in these public spaces and common spaces, where for energy efficiency, water efficiency, and turnaround efficiency, we really need to have that optimal high-pressure flush. But yet, right, by optimizing for that, we could be creating second effects, which are very small drops emitted.
So put the lid down
at
home. Does your work make you a bit of a germaphobe?
I have to say that's the case. However, I work hard to not go too far on that tendency, and stay, you know, on the normal. But initially, after having worked on these two problems and other problems as well that relate to droplets, contaminants, circulation indoors, I did start to be a little bit too aware of all these issues.
How could you not be? Of course, the idea for you, though, is to come up with some mathematical descriptions of how these things all travel in the air.
That's right. So what we're trying to do is not just have empirical data. So first of all, really shedding light and putting videos and in some sense shedding light on these phenomena allow us to see them, which is great for public awareness, but also measure precisely. So we actually developed different image processing algorithms to try to extract the data in terms of droplet sizes, temporal evolution, so with time and space, where is all this going? But then also develop mathematical models, basically fluid dynamics models based on equations, to understand better how could we more efficiently target these processes to change them, minimize them. So how do we, you have so many parameters that you could be changing to try to address this problem, but that would be years and years of really sort of empirical research. But if you understand the process, the physics that govern those emissions, you can narrow down that list and start having predictive models and interventions that are more
targeted. We have to narrow down our interview. That's Lydia Bariba, assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering, mechanical engineering at MIT. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. And she's also starring on our latest video, our Breakthrough Series, which is produced with Howard Hughes Medical Institute. It's also there up on our website. It's sciencefriday.com/splatter. Kudos to Emily Driscoll and Lou Graskin for work on that.